I'm trying to get somewhere that's real and pure and true and eternal. Toby, can you go with your boy? Let's go.
From the Lighthouse Chapel International, Apostle Joel Obuobisa will inspire you with anointed, practical, and down-to-earth Bible-based teachings that will refresh, energize, and motivate you to do your best for God. Join the Apostle now as he ministers the Word of God.
To live my life again, Lord Jesus, I give my heart to you again and serve you with my life. If I had the chance to start my life all over, I'd choose you so much earlier, 'cause you mean so much to me. I've tried so many other things, they've all just turned to vanity, and nothing else can make me feel the way I feel since I found you. There's no one I love like you, Jesus. Can't wait to see your face and say I love you. Please just smile and tell me, well done, good and faithful. There's no one I love like you, Jesus. Can't wait to see your face and say I love you. Please just smile and tell me, well done, good and faithful servant. Yeah. When I think of all the lectures and the speeches listen to, they were all so empty. People speak with so much strong opinion, they seem so wise and confident, but their words have no life. Jesus, you are everything. Your words are full of life and power. They lead me on, they guide me on, they show me what I have to do. There's no one I love like you, Jesus. Can't wait to see your face and say I love you. Please just smile and tell me, well done, good and faithful servant. There's no one I love like you, Jesus. Can't wait to see your face and say smile and tell me, well done, good and faithful.
amen. And hallelujah, amen. Oh, I want you to rise up to your feet, amen. Our pastor is in the house, amen. With Jesus' joy, I want you to make some noise. Oh, somebody scream, jump around, make some noise for Apostle Joel.
Presence to share your word. We pray for your blessing to be with us, the guidance and leading of the Holy Spirit.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody says amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah. All right, you may be seated, please. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Well, it's good. It's good to. Amen. It's good to be back home. Amen. And it's good to see all of you again. And I'm glad you came to church. Amen. It's a blessing. I bring you greetings from Venezuela. Yes. Amen. And I was preaching the whole time. Yeah. I think I was counting this morning, and I realized I preached 11 times.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
That's like, yeah. On Sunday I preached 4 times. Yeah. It was just back to back to back to back to back. but it's a blessing, amen, that, you know, people are hungry for what we have. What was I preaching? Yes. Preaching my library. Just the stuff. And people are so hungry for the things that we take for granted and which we're used to having, you know. So it's a wonderful experience, and I pray that God will give you the opportunity to preach somewhere also. Amen. Right. So it's good to be back. I mean, what was I preaching about? I was talking, the most recent preaching, I was preaching about 120 reasons why you must be a soul winner.
Wow.
120 reasons. And in three or four preachings, I could only cover 4 points. And I had 120. You can imagine. So probably I have to go back and finish. I have to go back there to finish there. 116 left, isn't it? Right. Amen. But I think that the more exposed I become, the more aware and conscious I become of the need for us as Christians to reach out.
Wow.
Amen.
Wow.
To reach out to people, to anyone who will hear us. Amen.
Amen.
That is one of the reasons why I love for us to go to Skid Row, and we have to get back there soon. They must have missed us by now. Isn't it? Yeah. You know, because when we go to Skid Row, they listen to us. Do you understand? They're not proud people with their noses in the air, you know, just walking past us. But they're humble and they receive. And we must look for more of such places. Okay? Pastor Paul, you have to remind me Mexico plan. Okay. Amen. So we need to preach to more people, because if you think about it, that is, you know, we keep, like, I heard her singing the song that the Lord will be saying, "Well done, good and faithful servant." But if you look, a servant is one who serves his master. Is it not the truth? If you think carefully about it, between you and the Lord, who is expecting the other person to do more things?
Wow. Wow.
The way it is now. It sounds like on the last day, you rather will be saying to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant."
Wow. What a word.
Because you have a longer list of things for him to do than he has or can expect or ever expect from you. Do you get it? But the fact that all the scriptures and all the songs, because between us and the Lord, he's called the Lord and we are called the servants. But it seems the Lord is the one who is getting instructions every day from the servants. Give me this, give me that, do this for me. Do that for me. Do this for me. Do that. It's the Lord who is getting the list. And he's getting it from the servant. So when she was singing, I was just thinking, it looks like the Lord rather has to be congratulated. He's the one that has to be told, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Unless we reverse it and we understand our purpose as Christians. And there can't be too many sermons about it. It can't be overemphasized. You know, one day I met somebody who said, "I don't come to your church because you're always talking about the work of God." So what else? What do you see? People put pastors under pressure. Because every pastor wants people to come to his church. The purpose of the church is to gather. You get it? So we are more oriented towards putting people together and bringing people together. And anything that seems to disperse the people is of great concern to us. That's why pastors preach a lot of phony sermons. Do you see? That's why pastors preach a lot of sermons, make me happy type of sermons, make me excited type of sermons. Don't say anything bad that drives people away. Don't say anything that people are uncomfortable with. You know, don't say anything controversial. I know somebody was telling me the other day he had gone or had been invited to preach somewhere. And the pastor gave him a list of things he shouldn't touch on. It's like, don't go near these things. You get it? Yeah, and I don't blame him. I don't blame him because he wants to keep the people together. You see, but Jesus said it. Not Jesus. It's Apostle Paul who said that a time is going to come when people will not endure sound doctrine. Do you see? Can you find me that scripture? Put it up here. It says, a time will come, they will not endure sound doctrine. Do you see? But rather, look at it, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts, that's after their what they want, you get it? They shall heap unto themselves teachers having itching ears. Do you get it? So it's like we're now going to have custom-made preachers. See, designer preachers, you know, made or designed to the taste of the hearer. So it's now going to be the hearer that determines the kind of preaching you find in the church. So you can look at the church member and determine what type of pastor he has. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah? Gucci pastors. Yeah. Designer made, custom made for the congregation. Do you get it? The congregation has cut him out. They've designed him nicely and molded and shaped him up, you know. And he says this and avoids that and avoids that and does not touch on this and does not touch on this and escapes this kind of preaching, does not touch on such issues and just stays right there, and he has the congregation that likes it. Do you see? Yeah. He says they will not endure. They will not endure it means they will leave it. They'll leave when they'll come to the church and they'll hear the preaching and they'll say, no, this is not my kind of church. And they'll say, no, this is not the kind of preaching I like to preach. Or this is not the kind of preaching I'm used to. No, I don't want to do. The other day somebody was telling Pastor Paul, you know, I like your church, but I think I'll go to another church, you know. And it's very depressing and, you know, it makes you unhappy to hear such things. Do you see what I'm saying? So the pastor comes under a lot of pressure to sort of come up with a sermon that does not offend anybody or does not do anything, you know, uncomfortable to anyone. You see, because Pastor Paul was very depressed. Yeah, and I could understand. You see, I could understand, you know, but we must stand for sound doctrine. Amen. Do you understand? We must stand for sound doctrine. Look, if we preach anything in our church and you don't see it in the Bible, feel free to stop. Even during the sermon, you can stop me. Yeah, you can raise up your hand. And I don't know. What do you think? Maybe after church. Okay. Let me finish saying it so you can get the full picture. Because then after church, we can talk. Okay, right. So after church, we can have post-sermon discussions. You get it? Yeah, you get it. But honestly, if we share anything, you know, one of the reasons why I like the scripture on it, you know, I can't preach these days when I can't see the scripture on the wall. You know, and I'm perfectly okay. In most churches, the pulpit is here. I prefer my pulpit to be on the side. This is what I want you to see. You see, this is where it's all at. If you can see it here and can relate with it, I am just reasoning with you according to what is here. And this is not my notes. You get it? I didn't write this. Hallelujah. That's the reason why you're supposed to bring your own personal copy of the Bible along. You get it? So that we can all be in it together. We all came to meet it and see what it says. The Bible is saying that a time will come when people will not endure sound doctrine. Hallelujah. You have to be determined to endure sound doctrine. You understand? Endure it means sometimes it's not cool. You get it? It's not so nice. That's why you have to endure. Endure is a word we use in most commonly in association with what? Hardship. What? Suffering. Difficulty. Pain. Isn't it? Yeah. Most people don't endure eating ice cream. I have never heard the word endure linked to ice cream. Pastor Charles, have you heard something like that before? Yeah. So after the meal, we had a time of endurance. They served us with ice cream. No. So endure means that some preaching is really uncomfortable. To hear. Do you understand? Yeah, it's really uncomfortable to hear. But you see, it's uncomfortable because we are often proud. Do you understand? See, we don't come to the Lord like sinners who need help. Do you get it? We come to the Lord with a posture of someone who is doing most things right. You see, we're doing most things right, and we have come. But if you come to the Lord as a sinner, whoever you are, if you come to the Lord, do you know that it is the Lord's prayer? The Lord's prayer. The Lord's prayer doesn't mean the prayer that the Lord was praying. It means the prayer that the Lord taught us to pray. Wow. Do you see what I'm saying? And in the Lord's prayer, featuring very prominently, is forgive us our trespasses. Immediately following, give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses. So I would like to think that give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses. You see, there is a pause there when it's the way we were taught it. So it sounds like give us this day our daily bread. That's one thing. Then, and forgive us our. But if you studied some small English in school, you know that it's bad to begin a sentence with and. You get it? And is a conjunction, do you understand? Which means it brings two ideas together. So give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses. That means forgive us our trespasses is part of the daily routine. Are you understanding it? Yeah, it means it's part of what you can expect from God every single day. So if you come to the Lord and you approach him like a sinner, do you understand? You don't have much to be offended by. Anything they are saying that affects you, you know you are like that. Do you understand? Yeah. When I was growing up, they had a saying, all around when people didn't know scriptures, they said that he that is down fears no fall. Yeah. And in my country, they have a proverb in one of the languages, which literally translated means that a dead goat is not afraid of a knife. You get it? A dead goat is non-responsive to threats of a knife. These are all proverbs. When people don't have scriptures and they don't know what to say, then they have to say these kinds of things. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So if you come to church with humility, and you feel that, look, and whether you say it or not, you are bad. That's the truth. All of us have problems and struggles. And just, is it not true? Ask your neighbor, you look so righteous. It's like you have been weeping between the porch and the altar and for 8 days. So you look so righteous and sturdy. You look sturdy. You look like you have it all together. Yeah. You see. But that's not how some of us feel. See, Jesus told a story of two people who went to church to pray. He said one of them went to the church and he said, "Lord, I thank you. I thank you." Then he said, "I'm thank you that I'm not like this guy." You know. Then he started listing his righteousness. He said, he said he fasted 3 times. Isn't it? Yeah. Yeah, and he pays his tithes. Every time Apostle Joel calls for tithing, he said, Lord, I hope you have noticed that I always occupy the 5th spot. You see the thing? Yeah. And then the other guy, the Bible says, he just said, "Lord, be merciful unto me. Let's not even discuss anything." The truth is that the Bible says all our righteousness are as what? Filthy rags. You get it? Even if your righteousness was like a clean rag, it would still be a rag. It would still not make it on your dining table. It would not be a display item on your living room table or whatever coffee table in your living room. If it was a rag, that's not where it would be sitting, even if it was a clean rag. But now he says your righteousness is not a clean rag, but all your righteousness is like filthy rags, like bad, bad, bad rags. That's anything good that you think you are doing that means anything. Hallelujah. So I think that if we would come to church a bit more humble, what do you think? If we will come like people who need help, if we will come to him like people who understand that we have no righteousness of our own. See, it's better for God to prop you up in righteousness with his righteousness, the righteousness that we get through the blood of Jesus Christ. Do you understand? Than for you to prop yourself up with your own sense of righteousness and your own ideas about what is right. Do you get it? Because when you look in the Bible, you see some people doing bad things and you see God standing right by their side and you start to wonder what is even right and what is wrong. Amen. So the way not to be offended by preaching and to feel like the preaching is against you, do you see, is to come defenseless before the Lord. Do you understand? Come defenseless before the Lord and say, "Lord, you know, whatever you think it is, whatever you say about me is true. And have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me." Jesus said, "Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses." The guy who is asking for bread knows he's bad. And this is Jesus' pattern. He said, "Look, when you come and ask me, ask for bread, knowing you are bad." Amen. And if we do that, we will obtain more mercy. What do you think? We will obtain mercy. The Bible says, whosoever confesses and forsakes their sin, they will obtain mercy. But the Bible says that he that hideth his sins will not prosper. You will not flourish when you pretend it's not there. Did you see what I'm saying? And I think that we live in a world that just orients us so much towards fakery. You see, not things that are not real. You see, everything is fake around us. And so we bring that same attitude towards God. Amen. And it is not a good thing. Can I have an amen? Amen. So anyway, back to what I was saying earlier, which is that we must see ourselves more as servants. And as servants, God is expecting something of us. That's why we are servants, or he calls us servants. And I believe that the work that we are supposed to do for God is to win souls for the Lord and to make sure that those souls remain in him. Are you getting it? Yeah, and there can't be too many sermons about that. Do you understand? If it's your job, there can't be too many discussions about your job. As long as it's your job, we will have to keep talking about it. Amen. It's the Great Commission. It's called sometimes in the Bible, in Matthew chapter 28. And by the way, that's the first point. That's the first point in the book. It says you must be a soul winner because that is the Great Commission, the great command, the great mandate, the great instruction, and the great order given us by Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. And Matthew chapter 28 and from verse 18, it says, go ye therefore. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in the earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. You see, then it says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore. Go ye therefore, that means go ye because of the power, isn't it? You see, power. You know, I was sharing in that place I just came from. The meeting was called an empowerment conference. You get it? And so as I was going, I was just thinking, empowerment conference, empowerment conference, empowerment conference. What am I going to talk about? You get what kind of empowerment are we talking about? Do you get it? Then the Holy Spirit just dropped this into my spirit because the pastor gave me a hint that he wanted to have a lot of soul winning this year in his church. He has a plan. They are going into, I think, 2,500 homes. Yeah, just they are literally going to walk into the homes and just go to everybody's home. Yeah, and they have 2,500 of them mapped out, and they are going to do that, you know. So then I was reading the scripture, then I realized that going to teach the people, this is empowerment. This is the empowerment right there. Do you see? He said, all power is given unto me. You know, the greatest power is used for evangelism. Wow. Do you see? And you know, power always has to be connected to something. If power is not connected to anything, then you have a naked wire. Wow. Then that power becomes dangerous. Do you see? Like whatever the source of power is to this light. You get it? If we were to cut this thing in two and expose the wire, that means disconnected from the light. The power that is flowing through this thing is designed to produce light. If you disconnect the power from the work of producing light, now holding this wire is dangerous for you. Do you get it? Yes. So churches with power, whether it's financial power, numerical power, because he said all power means there are types of powers. Isn't it? Yeah, anything that makes you strong, you know, which is not connected eventually, even to have money, money is power. When people have money, you can see, even if you live with somebody and he's paid, you can tell. You get, if you have just a roommate and just your roommate, I mean, when the day he collects his paycheck, you can tell. He doesn't have to tell you. You just can sense that power has come around the person. How many know what I'm talking about? Yeah. They call for the pizza. They don't go there to buy it. They call the pizza man delivery. He should come home. Yeah. Because power has come. Yeah. It's when they are broke that they go to the pizza place. Yes. Yeah. And when you see them calling different things, and just be calling, and they walk and see if they play music loud in the house, and they be talking, call his friend on the phone, start talking, shouting. You just know from the whole situation that look, something has come. You don't even have to say anything. Just check what day it is, and you see it's Friday. Now it's likely that people have been paid. That's why we're having this. You see, so power, you know, if churches have money, pastors have money, and it's not connected to this, that money becomes what destroys the church, destroys the pastor, destroys the members, ruins the whole work. Because they got power and they didn't plug it into anything. So power, you're asking God to anoint you. You want God to give you power. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? And the amount of power you draw is determined by what it's connected to. Do you see? So if you're involved in something that just doesn't use much power, you don't have much power. But as you go deeper and attempt greater things for God, then greater voltage is directed in your direction. Are you understanding what I'm saying? That is how it works. Amen. So he said, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. And go ye therefore. You know, many people read that scripture from verse 19. If you ask somebody, the average person, you know, what is the Great Commission? If he knows it, he will tell you it's Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20. You get it? Right. And then it will start like, go ye therefore. Go ye therefore. And it sounds like it's okay, even though it doesn't make sense. You see, but it sounds okay because we feel like, as for the Bible, there are a lot of things in it that don't make sense anyway. So this may be one of them. Just go ye therefore, these type of things that you cannot easily comprehend. You get it? But this is English. It says go ye therefore. Go ye therefore means go ye because of this. You get it? That if I said to you, go ye therefore. If I said, go because of this. Your next question before you go is to ask me what? Because of what? Because of what? Because of what? So he says, go ye therefore. You must pause and say, what? Just go back to the verse before. And then you will see that he said, because of the power. Because of the power I have given you, you can now go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. You do know that you don't baptize somebody until they have received Jesus Christ. Isn't it? Baptism is, the Bible says, he that believeth and is baptized Do you understand? That is the other rendition of this in Mark chapter 16. You see, it says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So when he says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them, the presumption is that those people have, what you went to do is to present Christ. That must come first before you have the opportunity to baptize somebody. Go and make people believers. Then you can baptize them. Do you get it? So he that believeth, back to the other one, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But then it says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, and lo, and lo. You see, he said, and lo. And lo. This is the last one. Do you understand? Right. Now go to Mark. When you go to Mark, chapter 16 is the last chapter of Mark. And then you read a similar thing. Verse 15. He says, he said to them, go ye into all the world. You know, this is Mark is also just about to finish writing. Do you see? Yeah. He says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You see, every creature. Now here he's breaking it down and making it a detailed instruction. Every creature means he's counting people one by one. Do you understand? The other one said, teach all nations. This one says, take it person to person. Person to person. Nobody is excluded. There is no one who is too much for the gospel. Everyone is a candidate for the gospel. Everyone deserves to know Christ. Rich people, poor people. I don't even know where people get this lie from, that when you're rich and everything is well with you, you don't need God. You get it? God and money are not substitutes. Do you understand? The fact that you have a lot of money doesn't mean you don't need God. The fact that things are working out for you doesn't mean you don't need God. People think that way because we present them a wrong gospel. We present the gospel as being, come to Jesus and he'll solve all your problems. Do you understand? So then if I don't have a problem, I feel like I don't need Jesus. That Jesus is for people with so many problems. I think one day Bishop met a man on the plane who said, I can understand why you Africans you go to church a lot. Because you have many problems. It's like your problems don't have a solution. So I can understand why you Africans like to serve the Lord. It's a wrong mind. It's a wrong mind. You need Jesus whether you have money or not. Do you understand? Yes. When the rich man didn't know the Lord, he died and went to hell. That's what Jesus prevents. That's something your money cannot prevent. Sometimes people with an education become so proud. Do you understand? And they feel that because you have studied some science, a little bit of science. You see, you get it. Then God is not necessary. You get it? God is not necessary. God, creation is not necessary. And all these things are not necessary. You get it? They just happen. You see? But science does not make things. Science discovers what has been made. Do you get it? Yeah. Science discovers what has been made. And science discovers what can be made from putting together what has been made. Do you understand? Yeah. What people call an invention is simply a discovery of how to put together what has already been made to create something new. That's it. I heard somebody was in some kind of competition with God, and the person, I think, was a scientist. And the person was saying to God that, you know, these days, because of artificial intelligence and so on, you know, you know, it's very difficult to believe in you, you see, because everything you can do, we can also do. Do you get it? So God said to the person, okay, let us make man. The Bible says that God made man out of the earth, the dust of the earth. And so God said, okay, so let's make man. And then God started to form man. And then the guy also went to take some of the dust, and he was also trying to form man. And God said, oh, no, start. Make your own dust first. You get it? No, don't start with my dust. No. You have to make your own. You also have to do the let there be. And you have to do some of that first. Yeah. Do that, let there be, create your own earth, and then use some to make your man.
I love it.
You know, if you believe in God, thank God for it. Thank God that He has softened your heart enough to have faith in Him. Do you understand? Because people are pitiful and don't even know it. People are pathetic and miserable and they don't even know it. You understand? What is sad is the confidence with which you project your pitifulness or pitiful state, I think. Confidence. You get it? Yes. It's like somebody who confidently comes to stand in front of you naked. He doesn't know that he's naked. That's where the pity is. When you see someone who's lost their mind and is walking around naked, you feel sorry for them, but they don't feel sorry for themselves. They go everywhere. Especially the guys. You see them walking like that. You see them just walking like that. And just moving around in town. You get it? When you see them, you're thinking, oh, 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 oh. And they're thinking that actually... They feel sorry for you. They feel sorry for you. They feel like, wow, what's wrong with you? Can a human being just walk around and say, there's no God? I met a little girl the other day, and she was a waiter at a restaurant, and I, as she served us, we tried to invite her to the church. This is this place where I went to. We tried to invite her to the church. Then she immediately went on the defense and said, you know, she says, by the way, I don't have any religion. I don't believe in God. Or, you know, and I was just thinking, look at you, little. She's small like that. And I said, look at you, little girl like you. Look, where do you get this mind from? I asked her, how old are you? She said, 22 years. I said, 22, 22. I have some, 22. 22, I've made some. I have one that can stand up toe to toe with you. 22, you have been around 22. I know what 22 is like. Oh. That was just yesterday. I've seen one before from 0 to 22. I've seen it before. You can't stand here and bamboozle me and fool me. There's something wrong with you. Come to the church tomorrow. I said, come to the church tomorrow. Yeah. You're 22 years old and you're acting like you're Albert Einstein or something. Or that Hitler was your classmate. What's wrong with you? Stop that nonsense. Get to the church immediately. And the next day she came. She came to the church. I told her, when you come to the church, come and look for me. I'll be right in the front there. When the service is over, walk to the front and come. Then here she was. She came with a friend, another girl who was working in the same place. Yeah. And when we were leaving, we saw her on Friday or so. And she said, oh, we're going back this Sunday. This is a blessing. Yes. Stop that nonsense. 22 years old. I made one before. I've seen it before. from 0 to 22. You don't know anything I don't know. Come to the church. So people are pitiful and they don't even know it. They don't know that they are pitiful. You are disconnected from your only hope and source of power. Do you understand? That you are nothing. You are nothing. There are so many questions you can't answer, and you choose to blind your eyes and close your ears to those questions and pretend those questions don't exist and pretend that they are the reason why you don't believe. But there's more life in believing than not believing. Hallelujah. So there are people out there. He said, preach the gospel to every creature. Then verse 16, he says, in verse 16, quickly, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And he that believeth not shall be damned. These are the words of Jesus Christ. You know. Then he says, these signs shall follow those who believe. Do you see? That's the introduction of power in your life. Do you understand? Remember, he said, all power is given to me. Christ has power to make anything happen in your life that you know needs power to happen. And I'll show you how to identify things that need power to happen. Anything that does not need power to happen in your life has already happened. Anything that remains on your wish list that has not happened, it needs power to happen. The reason why it's not there, all the desires of your heart, because if you knew how to make them happen, they would happen this afternoon. This afternoon, they would happen. Right now, right? Inside the service, right? Yeah. It's because it needs more than you to happen. It's because it needs more than your strength. It needs more than your education. It needs more than your connections. It means it needs more than the things you know. All your knowledge put together cannot produce it. You need power. Power. And Jesus said, all power, anything that requires power, it's in me. It's in me. And it begins with going to talk to people about Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. In my name, they shall cast out devils. He said, let's start with devils. Let's start with devils. Do you have power? Do you have power against devils? Do you know that the way some people try to overcome devils is to choose to believe they don't exist? Yeah. Because if you think it doesn't exist, then you don't have to deal with it. But then you make his day also. Because the devil likes people to believe he doesn't exist. That way, when he's exploiting them and destroying them and ruining their lives, they blame everyone and everything but him. Do you understand? Yeah. So he said, in my name, they shall cast out devils. True. He said, these signs shall follow not the apostles, but those that listen to the apostles. The believers, they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. So those who find it, you know, absurd that Christians speak in tongues. How can you speak a language you don't understand? You know, all these things. It's because you are out of touch with the scriptures. You don't know what is going on. You get it? Then I want you to jump to the next verse, verse 19. He says, so then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And then verse 20, and they went forth. They went forth and they preached everywhere. They preached where? Everywhere. You know, in this church, we're going to preach everywhere. Yeah. We're going to go forth. We'll go forth. We'll take everything we have.
take our music, our little children, whatever. You should teach the little children some dance to do in the streets. You get it? Yeah, whatever, anything we have, we'll take it out there. Yeah. Actually, I have this photograph I saw recently of Senna carrying some evangelism placard in his stroller. Yeah, maybe in a stroller, but you know, I'm an evangelist. Yes. Yeah. Maybe we should give all these people, these kids in the stroller, you give them placards. Some people are going to say you're abusing the kids. You see, it's just not working. Mind is not working. Yeah. Then it says they were preaching everywhere. The Lord working with them. You remember he said, "Lo, I'm with you always. The Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Hallelujah. This is the promise that God has made to all of us if we will go and if we will do the work that he has called us to do. That's how come he will say to us, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Otherwise, we should be getting ready to sing to him, "Well done." Because when you asked him for a beloved, he gave you. When you asked him for a wife, he gave you. When you asked him for a wedding, he gave you. Is he good or not? Is he faithful or not? Yeah, so you will have to tell him, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Because he has answered all your prayers. I'm a bell. I'm a dreach. Is it true or false? Has he been good? Has he been faithful? You should be saying to him, "Well done." He has become the servant. We are now the Lord's. But that's going to change in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We're going to serve the Lord. I said, we're going to do what? Serve the Lord. We're going to do the work of soul winning. Hallelujah. Use anything you have, anything you can do, anyone you know. Just, the Bible says we must have feet shod with the preparation. Do you get that? There has to be a certain, you know, postured to share the gospel. Postured to share the gospel. Amen. And Bishop has a new book out, How to Preach Salvation, which is what we're going to use to do Vision 527, you know, in just a few weeks, you know. Yes, but get the book. Just go online on Amazon. You can get the e-version and just download it onto your tablet and start studying how to preach salvation, because that's something you must know. If you are serious about sharing the gospel and doing your work and fulfilling what Christ is expecting of you, you have to know how to do it. You have to know how to do it. And it must be of importance to you to learn how to do what you are called to do. Otherwise, you become a shabby worker. Isn't it? Yeah. So anyway, I think it's time to close. So our time is up. So I believe that God has spoken to us. Amen. God has spoken to us. And get the book. Get the book. 120 Reasons Why You Must Be a Soul Winner. Amen. And I believe as you begin, come a soul winner. He says, the Lord was working with them. The Lord was working with them. When God is working with you, it means he's close. Do you understand? And if indeed he is a prayer answering God, then that's a good opportunity to be praying for things and be talking about your needs with him, isn't it? Remember, at this place, there's a lot of power. So perhaps some of the power may hit some of your things. What do you think? Yeah, it may knock out some things, even accidentally, isn't it? Yes. The power is already, it's beginning, it begins by casting out demons.
Wow.
Wow. Yes, it begins. When the power is turned on, as soon as it's turned on, it cast out demons. That's the first one. Yeah. It's like a fly zapper. Yes, right. Yeah. As soon as you turn the power on, it just starts to stuff. Yeah. So maybe some of the things that are harassing you. Because look, demons, they are some will. Demons are like flies. You get it? Flies can never eat all your food. But they can prevent you from enjoying it. In fact, they can make you walk away from it. Yes. There is no fly who has any plan to eat all your food. It can't. The food is bigger than the fly. Do you understand? The food is bigger than so the fly doesn't have anywhere to accommodate that amount of food. Do you see? Yeah. But the fly's intent is to harass you. Is to share it with you. You eat more, it eats more. You get it? It's to mix the good and the evil, you see, and to plague your life with harassment until you get up and walk away from the food. You will throw it away. The good thing that is in your hand, you take it and throw it away. Hey! Yeah. That's a fly. You get it? Yeah. Yeah. And what you do if you're praying and you're walking in these things, you sort of send them away. You get it? But Jesus told us that when demons go away, they don't go away permanently. They go, and then after a while, they come and check again. You get it? They come back and check to see if the place is there. So you see them, flies. Mosquitoes are also like that. Yeah. Just harass you and make you unhappy. But I tell you that as we walk under the power, the Lord working with us, these demons and flies will be zapped in the name of Jesus. The blood of Jesus will suck all of them in the name of Jesus. Stand to your feet and let's pray as we close. Amen. I want you to close your eyes and pray and say, Lord, I want to join the workers. I want to be your servant, not you be my servant. I want to be your servant. I want you to be the one saying to me, well done, good and faithful servant, not me saying to you, well done, good and faithful servant. Just pray and say, Lord, be merciful unto me, a sinner. Be merciful unto me. I have never done the things you expect of me. I have often fallen short of the standards that you expect of me. And I pray for your mercy, and I pray, Lord, for your help. I pray for your mercy and I pray for your help. Help me do the work of an evangelist. Help me to be a soul winner. Help me to do the work that you saved me and left me here to do. Let my life be a picture of you. Let my feet always be swift to go to places where I can preach. Preach everywhere. Preach everywhere. And to anyone who will listen to me, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Pray, everybody. This is a very important prayer. It's a very important prayer. It's a very important prayer. Masatalamalama shandariyala babaya. We pray, oh God, in Jesus' name. And we thank you for your blessing. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Now, as we close the service, maybe you're here today and you know in your heart that you're not born again. You know you're not saved. that if you die today, you don't know if you will go to heaven or not. You're not sure about that. Now, that's a very important thing to be sure of. Not sure of it because of your own arrogant confidence, but sure of it because you have met the standards, because you have fulfilled the requirements that God has given us for those who are to escape going to hell. And that is to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him," whosoever believes in him, "should not perish." The reason for Jesus is so that people will not perish. So they will not perish. They would not perish. So that opportunity is being offered to you, whether you are here in the service or you're watching us on the internet. Jesus is reaching out to you right now, and he's offering you the most wonderful gift of salvation. The greatest miracle that can happen to anyone is that their sins will be forgiven by Christ, and that they will become children of God. So this is your day of salvation. This is your opportunity. God is reaching out to you, and you must not let this opportunity pass you by. If you're here like that this afternoon, I want you to raise up your hand while every eye is closed, and I'll pray with you. Just quietly raise up your right hand. I'm going to pray with you. You want to be sure that Jesus is Lord of your life. He says, "Whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So if you're here today, I want to pray with you and give you that opportunity. Is there anyone here like that? Now, if you're online and you want to do this and you want to give your life to Jesus, to make this commitment, I want you to join us as we pray together. I want you to say with me, everybody join us as we say this prayer together. Say, "Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying for me. I acknowledge I'm a sinner, and you are the solution to my sins. So Lord, I come to you just as I am. I'm not going to try to be good before I come to you. I come to you just as I am, because there is no good thing in me anyway. My best efforts are like filthy rags before you. So Lord Jesus, why should I even try anything at all? I throw myself onto your mercy, and I ask that your blood will wash me. Let your blood wash me, and let your blood cleanse me. Forgive my sins, Lord. Forgive my sins, Lord. Forgive my sins, Lord. Have mercy on me, a sinner, and make me a child of God. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing my prayer. Amen. Now let me lead you in another prayer. Say, "Lord Jesus, I want to be a soul winner. I understand, Lord, that you saved me for good works. Good works in Christ Jesus. I offer myself, Lord, for the work of soul winning. I pray for opportunities. I pray for open doors. Please send my way people you are already ministering to. People whose hearts you have already touched. People you have ordained for salvation. Send such people my way, O God, and give me an opportunity to win some for you at all costs. All people, everywhere, I want to preach to them. I want to share what I know with them. I want to share Jesus with them. I want to shine your light on them. So please give me the opportunity. Please give me the opportunity. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the Lord. Amen. Let's have communion. Let's have communion. Thank you, Jesus.
Take, eat, this is my body, which was broken for you. Drink, this is my blood, which was poured out for you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. This cup of blessing that we bless, it's the communion of the blood of Christ. And this bread which we break, it's the communion of the body of Christ. Oh, this is the holy meal that came down from heaven. And it will sustain you, it will heal you, it will give you life. When I see the blood, I will pass over you.
Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23. It says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." Hallelujah. As often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death until he come. You know, communion is not something you must partake of occasionally. If indeed the foundation of our existence as Christians is the Lord's death, then how often do you want to show it? Do you understand? Because without him, we are not. Everything we are is in him, is because of him. So he said, every time we have communion, every time you eat this bread and drink this wine, you know, and he says you should do it. He says, as often as you do it, Look at that verse. It in remembrance of me. This do ye as oft as ye drink it. In remembrance of me. This is what sets it apart from any other time you are drinking anything. You see, when you get home and you pour yourself a glass of juice, you're not doing it in remembrance of him. Are you getting it? Yeah. But when you do it in remembrance of him, wow, when you switch into the communion mode, then that's when you activate the power in it. He said, you do show the Lord's death. Verse 26, you do show the Lord's death until he come. That means everything his death stands for, everything his death brought with it. The forgiveness of sins, the deliverance from evil, the healing of our bodies. He says, until he comes, this is the way to reactivate or reenact the death. Manifest the death of Jesus Christ as often as we do it. The next verse says in verse 27, wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup unworthily. That is talking about abuse of communion. People who drink this cup, you know, unworthily shall be guilty of the body and of the blood of Jesus Christ. Because now you are abusing it. Do you see? He says you have to know what you are doing. You have to understand that when we do this, we are laying out again. We are pouring out the blood. We are actually stripping the body again. Do you see? And he says, therefore, let a man examine himself. So you have to think deeply before you do it. And let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the body. Hallelujah. And he says, for this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Now, if abusing communion makes people weak, sick, and even die, isn't it? Then it means it affects you. It affects your health, isn't it? If abusing it causes or has this effect. You see, and it's like medication. See, if you go home and you swallow a bottle of Tylenol, you're abusing it. That's going to kill you. The same thing you take with respect, which at least relieves your headache. Do you understand? Which relieves pain. The same thing, if you take it the wrong way and abuse it, then now that same thing kills you. So this thing here is power. It is power. There is power in it. And you know, one of our pastors sent me a testimony this week. You know, he said, I was dealing with a demonic possession. The last one was being very defiant and arrogant. He was casting out devils from somebody. And the demon was very defiant and arrogant. And he said, the demon said it was going to be a long fight. Yes. Then he said, suddenly the Lord directed me to give her communion. Like, instead of continuing to struggle, said, give her communion. When she ate the bread, the final blow was dealt with. Was dealt, and with the juice administered, the last devil departed. Just like that. Yeah. You get it? Rather, your biggest struggles. Because Jesus taught us there are types of problems. He told us there are demons. He said this type does not go but by prayer and fasting. Means there are types. You get it? So there are grades, there are shades and so on of problems and issues. And some things, I think the highest ones, they are dealt with by communion. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So learn to have communion. And I said the difference is in remembrance of him. That's all. You are eating bread and you're drinking wine, you know, but in remembrance of him. You understand? Maybe what will help you, that's why we probably keep it small, so that it serves no other purpose. Because when it's small, You yourself know that this is not lunch. You see what I'm saying? You know that we're not having lunch. Yeah. Then you can keep it focused on what it's about. Are you getting it? Yes. But in remembrance of him, whatever problem you're having, there is no difficulty. There is no... Administer communion to the issue. Serve communion. Manifest the death of Jesus Christ to the issue. Serve the death of Jesus Christ to the issue. And the issue will bow. I said it will bow. It will bow. It cannot resist. It can resist your wisdom and your ideas, of course. Who are you? You're 22 years old. You don't have so many ideas. So don't be surprised that it is resisting your ideas and your wisdom. But it cannot resist the power of Jesus Christ. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And so today I want us to take communion with that in mind, that we are manifesting the power in the blood of Jesus Christ, the body of Jesus Christ, the death of Jesus Christ. We are manifesting it. Lift up your bread and your wine and let's pray. Father, we thank you for the privilege of sharing in the power in communion. We thank you, Lord, for your blessing of access to the power in the elements of communion, the bread and the wine. Today, as we eat and drink the wine, we pray, O God, that any high thing that has exalted itself above the knowledge of God, any high thing that seeks to dominate our minds and dominate our lives, to rule us and to be a constant source of unhappiness and sorrow, whether it is sickness, whether it is relational, whatever it is that seems to torment us, oh God, we lift up the body and the blood of Jesus against it in the name of Jesus. And we declare that the devils behind all those things are defeated in the name of Jesus. We raise up the body and the blood as a standard against you, devils, in the name of Jesus. Get out of our lives. Get out of our finances. Get out of our relationships. Get out of our jobs and careers in the name of Jesus. We manifest the death of Jesus and the blood of Jesus all over again. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. Lift up your bread and say, the blood, the body of Jesus Christ, and you may eat it. Say with me, the blood of Jesus Christ. Blood is for health. When people are anemic, they give them blood. When they are weak, they give them blood. And they try to revive them again and to bring strength back to their lives. Today, strength is coming back into your life. I said, strength is coming back to you. Strength is coming back to you. Strength for overcoming evil. Strength for overcoming sin. No matter what your sins are. See, the Bible says, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as wool. Many times the devil disqualifies us by discouraging us, saying that you are a very bad person. You cannot drink the blood. It's like bringing your clothes to the washer and saying, you are so dirty, you can't go inside here. If your clothes cannot go in the washer, there is no hope for them. Do you understand? If they are too dirty to be washed, then there's no hope for them. If the blood of Jesus cannot take care of it, where else are you going to go? So the devil tells people, listen, don't touch the blood. Just go aside and become righteous. Get righteous first, and then you come for the blood. Well, if you can be righteous by yourself, then you will not need the blood. Hallelujah. Don't fall for the lie of the enemy. Rather, you must run to the blood. The more difficult things get, the worse you think you are, the closer you must get to the blood. And keep doing it. Keep doing it. Even if you keep struggling with the same sin, you keep struggling with it, apply the same solution. Apply the same solution. Every time, just keep applying it. Do you understand? Yes. And you will see how the power in this little thing will cut that habit off. In the name of Jesus. Say with me, the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. You may drink it. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you. We thank you. Our lives, our times are in your hands. Our days are in your hands. We commit ourselves unto you this week. We pray, Lord, that we shall abide under your shadow. We shall stay under your banner and your covering in the name of Jesus. Deliver us from evil. Deliver us from evil. Deliver us from evil. Deliver us from evil in the name of Jesus. Deliver us from demonic attacks. Demons that attack us. Demons that impair our judgment. Voices that drown the voice of the Holy Spirit and the voice of reason. Oh God, deliver us from all such things, Lord. In the name of Jesus. And may your voice be clear in our ears. May your voice be clear in our ears. Give us the power to obey you. Give us the power to become sons of God. Give us the power, oh God, to witness and to be soul winners. We thank you for your blessing in Jesus' name. And everybody says amen. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the Lord, and you may be seated.